This morning we are going to be in Genesis chapter 37. We're going to take just a blurb out of the life of Joseph. I think on Wednesday nights we're going to begin to study, after we get done with Galatians, we're going to go into a study of the life of Joseph. It's just one of those that there's so much in his life. But today we're going to look at just a part of his life. And I think it's something that I know I need, and I'm pretty sure you probably need. Because most of us are like that story that I'm sure you've heard of the guy that lives in the middle of this floodplain. And the flood comes, and so he climbs up to the top of his house, and you've probably heard this. And he's up there, and he's a very religious man, and so he begins to pray, "God, save me." And pretty soon this boat comes by. Says, "Buddy, get in." He said, "No, God's going to save me." And so he's praying. He said, "God, I'm waiting, I'm waiting." And so pretty soon another boat comes by and says, "Buddy, you better get in. The water's getting a little high." And he said, "No, God's going to save me. I'm a man of faith. God's going to save me." Pretty soon the water is up. He's standing on the top of his chimney. And a helicopter comes by and says, "Buddy, grab on. Let's go." He said, "No, God's going to save me." Well, the water comes and he drowns, and he gets to heaven. He says, "God, I knew you were going to save me." God says, "I sent two boats and a helicopter." That's where we're at. That's where a lot of us are at. We have the idea and the understanding that we know how God's going to do things. And so let's look at the life of Joseph and see where it will take us today. I'm going to start reading in verse of chapter 37, verse 13. It says, "And Israel said to Joseph, 'Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them.' So he said to him, 'Here I am.' Then he said to him, 'Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me.' So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now certain men found him, and there he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, 'What are you seeking?' So he said, 'I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks.' And the man said, 'They have departed from here, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan.' So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, 'Look, this dreamer is coming. Come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, Some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams.' But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, 'Let us not kill him.' And Reuben said to them, 'Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to their father.' So it came to pass that when Joseph had come to his brothers, they stripped him of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into the pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted up their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, 'What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him. For he is our brother in our flesh.' And his brothers listened, and the Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt." Let's pray. God, we lift your word up, and we pray, Lord, for an anointing of your Spirit on it, Lord, that you would move among us. Help us to see, help us to hear, help us to know what it is you have for us. Lord, convict us, draw us, encourage us, whatever you need to do through this message, Lord, today. But change us from where we were when we walked in, that we might be closer to you. We thank you and we praise you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, just a little background. Most of you probably know, but Joseph had some dreams, and he had these dreams, and one of them was they were out gathering sheaves in the field, and him and his brothers, and his dream stood tall, and his brothers, their sheaves all bowed down to him. So he went and he told his brothers about this dream, and maybe that wasn't the wisest thing to do, because they hated him already, because the coat that it talks about in many colors, his father loved him more than he loved the rest of them. That probably wasn't really his fault, because he was born late in his father's life, and so his father loved him more than he did his brothers. But he has had this dream, this revelation from God, and he knew he needed to tell people, and so he began to tell his brothers, and so they hated him all the more. And as they hated him so much, here he comes, sent by his father, and they see him coming and they plot to kill him. Now that's a little harsh, I would think. I mean, really, he told them a dream that he had. And other than that, nothing was really his fault. Now, I'm sure if there's some of you out there that are the youngest child, you're not going to agree with this. But, you know, sometimes you just get spoiled and it's not your fault. It just happens that you're spoiled because you're the youngest. And those older ones, I'm glad none of my kids are here today. That sounds terrible to say you're glad your kids aren't here. But you understand what I'm saying, because Joseph was just that youngest. He was given this coat of many colors that nobody else got. He was taken care of. He was loved by his father more than the rest. And they see him coming and they plot to kill him. And thank God for Reuben, because Reuben, one of his brothers, says, "Hey, I'm going to talk them out of this. I'm going to talk my brothers out of this and get him tossed in a hole out in the middle of the wilderness, and I'll come back and I'll sneak him out and I'll take him back to my father." And whether he's doing it because he doesn't want to kill his brother or whether he's wanting brownie points with his dad, I don't know. It doesn't tell us. But it does tell us that Reuben has a plan. But they take and they come and they strip him of this coat and they throw him in this pit to leave him to die. Now, for us today, we need to understand that many of us have been in this pit. When it just feels like maybe even the people closest to you just don't understand you. You're dealing with some things that, of all people, the people that on this earth that should love you don't understand you. And then not only that, sometimes we get to a point in our life, and it's just a part of life, that the things that we have and we hold closest to us are stripped away. His was a coat. But we have different things in our life that we cling to and we hold on to, and they're stripped out of our life. They leave him there to die in this pit. And then they're good with it. They sat down to eat a meal. You just threw your brother in a pit to die, and you're good to just sit down and have a meal with the rest of them. I'm thinking in my head, if they're willing to do this to that brother, what are they going to do to this brother if I upset them? But anyway, they sat down, obviously not much conscience in them, and they decide, we're going to throw him in this pit, we're going to have a meal, and right in the middle of their meal, God steps up. When Joseph is in the pit, God steps up at just the right time. You know, we serve a God of deliverance. We need to understand what that really means. We could go back and talk about all the times in the Old Testament when God delivered the children from Egypt, and throughout the time in the wilderness, how he delivered them, and different times in the New Testament when he delivered people from prison or delivered people from even sickness and death in the New Testament. Our God is a God that's a deliverer. Have you thought about that this week? Have you even thought about the fact that your God is a deliverer this past week? We don't. Because we figure if we get into a situation, we'll get out of it. The only way you get out of anything like that pit is the deliverance of Almighty God. And we ignore that. We ignore the deliverance. But the deliverance of our God, we're going to look at four things here as we look at Joseph. And we're going to see these four things. And I hope they help you and I to see that when we're going through those trials in our life that life brings us, that we will see that our God is there to deliver us. Now, first of all, we go back and we look at the fact that God is a God of direction. God had sent Joseph to his brothers. Joseph, it was through his earthly father that sent him to his brothers. And then he's lost. He's out wandering around, and we've all been there. And somebody comes along and says, no, this is where you need to go. And so he's given more direction. But it all comes from God. And as he gets to that place and he finds his brothers, he's thrown in this pit. Sometimes we're in that pit. I'll be honest with you. A lot of times it's my fault. When I find myself in that pit, it's my fault. But there's times in my life and times in your life when we find ourselves in that pit and it's not our fault. It's just part of life. It's part of things. It's part of what we're going to hear today. But here he is. He's down in this pit. His brothers are out there eating. And along comes this caravan of Ishmaelites. Now these are wanderers from that travel through the desert, and they're traders, and they go back and forth, and they would sell all these things and trade all these things from Egypt to Gilead, and here is Joseph in this pit, and at just the perfect time, God sends a caravan. God sends a caravan a lot of times, and we don't see it. But He's always right on time. He didn't send the caravan before He got in the pit. That would have been my choice. God, send it before I get thrown in this pit, because this pit didn't have any water in it. It wasn't soft. It wasn't like we're going to lower you into this pit. We're throwing you into this pit. God doesn't send the caravan then. God waits till Joseph is in the bottom of the pit. And we don't know what was going through Joseph's mind, but I know what would have probably been going through mine. It's like, God, I'm just here because I've been sent here. Why is this happening to me? Where are you at? I'm at the bottom as far as I can go. It seems like all hope is gone. God, where are you? And at just the right time, he sends a caravan. And he hears his brothers out there talking, probably. We don't know for a fact. So I'm using a little liberty here, but you'll understand with me. I'm not trying to add anything to the Bible. But his brothers are talking about, hey, let's don't leave him in the pit. Let's get him out of the pit. Hey, I'm liking the sound of that. I'm not going to be left here to die. They're going to pull me out of the pit. There's a caravan coming, and so what if they're Ishmaelites? At least I'm not going to die in the pit. And so they pull him out of the pit, and the next thing you know, he's being sold into slavery. That's almost out of the frying pan into the fire. Maybe not quite, but pretty close. And so here he is. He's perfect timing that God sends the caravan. God knew exactly what he needed. Now we know, if we read the rest of chapter and the rest of the book of Genesis, we know where it's headed. Joseph didn't know where it was headed. Joseph is sitting there. They pull him out and they're selling him to some traders that are going to Egypt. Now these traders probably don't need a slave. So he's probably figured out that he's going to be sold again. And maybe again and again. He doesn't know. But he has been taken away to Egypt as a slave. When you and I face trials in our life, we may feel like, okay, God, are you going to deliver me? And when God brings us out, God knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what needs to take place for you to be drawn out of that pit that you're in. But the first thing is, when you're in that pit, we all are probably have the same tendencies. When we get to a point that there is no place to look but up, kind of like that physical pit, there's no place to look but up, that's when we call on God. Well, when you're in that pit and I'm in that pit, you're not out of God's sight. God can hear your cries. But here's the problem. We don't hear His response. Well, can God hear me? Can God reach me? Can God save me when I'm at the bottom, if I'm in the low? Yes, He can. But sometimes when you're in that pit, He's telling you what to do. He's seeing if you're waiting. That pit sometimes is to prepare you, to prepare your faith for what's next. God is always right on time with His deliverance. He always knows exactly what you need. God knows exactly what Joseph needs as he's in this pit. His brothers need some way to see what's better. Hey, well, let's at least get some money out of this. We're not making anything if we let him die. So let's, greedy as they were, hey, let's just don't let him die. Let's make some money out of it. Hey, we get 20 shekels of silver for this guy. Then we don't even have to kill him. We got the money. And so God uses the greed of the brothers to pull Joseph out of that pit and to sell him to the Ishmaelites. God knows exactly what he needs. But you know, it's probably not what Joseph expected. Just like the last time you were in that pit. And really, it's one of those things. We're in probably three stages. We're either headed for the pit, we're in the pit, or we're on our way out of the pit. But that's life. That's where we're at. God gives us direction and life happens. And before you know it, we find ourselves in a pit. And so here, God is right on time. God knows exactly what He needs, but it's not what you expect. It's like the helicopter and the boats. And that's not what the guy expected. How many times do we miss, when we're in that pit, how many times do we miss what God really has for us? God wants to deliver us, and we're missing it because I think I know what's better. God, if you will just have my father show up at just the right time, my brothers will scatter and just say, oh, he just fell down there. You know, or we just found him there. We came to rescue him. I'm sure Joseph is looking for some other way of deliverance besides being sold into slavery. Whether he's hoping his brothers would have a change of heart, I don't know what he would have been hoping, but I'm guessing his hope wasn't that he would be sold into slavery. We have an idea of what we expect God to do to deliver us out of the trials and the troubles of our life. And because we're looking for a certain thing, we miss the helicopter rides. We miss the things that God wants to do because we're looking for our way out. Well, God, if you would just do this, or I'm waiting for God to do that, and before you know it, we've missed it because we're not listening from the pit. So he's on time. He knows what you need, even though it's not what you expect. And as Joseph gets pulled up out of this pit, we see that it's all a part of God's plan. This is where we need to understand that when God saves us from something, He saves us to something else. We don't like to hear the last half of that phrase. God is going to deliver Joseph from this pit, but He's going to deliver him to the slavery and whatever falls after that. You and I just want God to deliver us and set us out, dust us off, and let us go. But when God delivers us from something, He delivers us to something. When I was 21 years old, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. He delivered me from my sin. He delivered me from the penalty of death for my sin. But He didn't just say, okay, Steve, I'm going to take your sin. Now you go live like you want to. He delivered me from my sin to a life for Him. And that's what He did for you too. Too many of us just want the deliverance and not the direction. Because the direction is out of my control. So what we've got to understand is that it's all part of God's plan. We can look and we can see how at the end Joseph is going to end up saving so many thousands of people's lives because he gets sent to Egypt as a slave, sold to Potiphar, ends up getting thrown in prison. He comes out of prison. He interprets some dreams and he saves everybody because there's going to be a famine. But it started in a pit. Do you want God to use you? Sometimes you're going to have to listen while you're in the pit. You listen. You wait. Because waiting is faith. Knowing that God's going to pull me out of that pit. I don't know how. I don't know why. I don't know when. But He will show me when the when happens, the why. We have to understand that when God delivers us and it's a part of His plan, that we listen, we wait, and we trust the method of the deliverance. Really? You want to sell me to Ishmaelites? They were the sons not of Abraham's promise. They were not friendly people. They were wanderers. There's no life with them for Joseph. But God's saying, trust the method. Trust the method that I'm going to deliver you because it'll be exactly what you need, not what you expect, but it's part of my plan. So we listen, we wait, we trust, and then we look for His plan. That's the hardest part for me, is to look for His plan because I look through my eyes. I look to see that this is the direction, God. Hey, let's go this way. This will work best. This aisle's wide. Let's go this way. Man, let's don't go through all the obstacles, God. Let's do this. When I look for God's direction, if I'm not careful, I look through my own eyes. But He tells us in His Word that He will lead us and He will guide us and He will protect us. And so as he delivers us through His plan, He takes Joseph out of this pit. He wants to take you out of that pit as well. He wants you to follow His direction. Now, did it look perfect? Was it that smooth, wide road? No. It was slavery to Egypt. But God is God. And He's sovereign. And so He takes, and what looks like a terrible road, probably to Joseph. Joseph is willing to take it because it's the only option. You and I, sometimes it gets to the point when the only time we're going to accept it is when it's the only option. We get ourselves to the bottom of that pit and we look for one way out. And then when we get out, we look for another way and another way. And it's still, we should be looking up. Too many times when we get out of the pit, we have to look up to get out of the pit. But then when we get out of the pit, look at all those other ways around. We don't keep looking up. That's where we're supposed to be. For us, this deliverance, the same God that delivered him out of that pit, the same power is the same God that delivered him through the slavery. The same God that's going to deliver him through the prison. The same God that's going to protect him when sin comes. the same God that is going to be there to help him to be where he's supposed to be when God wants him to be there. Now, for you and I, the same God that's willing to save us from that pit. Now, maybe it's a daily pit or a daily trial that you're going through, and you're waiting for God to deliver you. That's part of it. And we call on Him, and He delivers us however He chooses, and then we look to follow Him. We're still looking up. We have to understand that that same God that delivers us from the daily pits is the God that delivered us from our sin. That same power that it took to deliver me from my sin when I was 21 years old, when God saved me, that same saving power is the power that pulls me out of pits daily. And that same power that pulls me out of pits daily is the same power that protects me as I follow Him. The same power that leads me and guides me. But too many times we think, well, you know, what if this is not the right way, God? What? We doubt that power. We doubt that faith. But yet we know that's the same power that saved us. So why doubt that? If He's got the power to save you, He's got the power to keep you. He's got the power to keep you, then He's got the power to get you through. There are probably some people here today that I'm just reading a story out of the Bible. There are others of us, man, we're still brushing the dirt off from being in the bottom of the pit. Some of us are still waiting. We feel everything collapsing around us. We feel the stuff stripped away from us, and we feel like we've got one foot in the pit. That's okay. Because we have a Savior that's ready to deliver us. He's there for us. God's same deliverance that we talked about today, it's right on time. The Bible tells us in the fullness of time, God sent His Son to be born of a virgin, to eventually die on the cross for us in a perfect time. God's always on time. Was it what they needed? Yeah. It was a perfect sacrifice, the perfect Son of God. He lived a perfect life. And He laid down His life to be a sacrifice. Man, God knew what we needed. Was it what they expected? No. The Jews were still waiting. Some are still waiting for the Messiah to come. That's not the way that it's supposed to happen. He's supposed to come riding in on a white horse and deliver us. That's what they expected, and they missed it. Because God was going to do it His way. We have to also realize that there's a plan. When He died on that cross and was buried and rose again 3 days later, well, that's good. He's up there. He's coming back for us. No, there's a plan for now. Well, as long as He's got me out of the pit, I don't really care about the plan. Then maybe you're just in a wider pit. Because if He's grabbed your heart and pulled you out of the pit, then you're going to love Him enough to follow Him, to serve Him, to share His love with other people. Are we willing to listen? You're going to be in that pit. Maybe you've never accepted Christ, then you're in that pit, and maybe you just don't know it. But as Christians, you're going to be in that pit too. You better be listening. You need to be waiting. You got to have faith. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, then this is part of it. It's the faith in trusting that as you stand in your sins, there's a Savior out there that's willing to take your sins for you. He died for your sins. But you've got to trust Him. You've got to accept Him. You've got to ask Him for forgiveness of your sins. And as you wait, and then you trust, then you look. Because He's got something else for you. It's not just about getting out of the pit. Our God is a deliverer. He's delivered each of you that are Christians from something. What is He delivering you to? It's different for each of us. Yeah, we're all going to be taken. If you're a Christian, if you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, one of these days that eastern sky is going to split. He's going to come back and take us home. One of these days we'll spend eternity with Him. Yes, we've been delivered to that. But you've been delivered to something today too. Because there's somebody in your life that needs to know Jesus. And maybe you were delivered from your sins to that person to share what's happened in you that they might be able to be delivered from theirs. What have you been delivered to? I'm going to close with this. God is my deliverer. Is He yours? Do you trust Him? Are you willing to follow Him? Are you looking to see what He's saving you to? Let's pray. Father, we just come before You right now. We thank You and we praise You that You are the great deliverer. We thank You for Your Son. But God, we pray for daily deliverance to deliver us from where we're at. Lord, may it always, always, always be about You. We thank You and we praise You, Jesus. Speak to us. Show us. May we glorify You this day. In Jesus' name, amen.